Chase, we do appreciate you sharing your time with us. And let's start with Last Child Camp. Tell us what that is and go ahead and talk about why it's significant.
Yes, Last Child Camp was a spiritual camp. It is a spiritual camp. It wasn't, I'm getting all the credit and the blame for that action, but it actually wasn't mine. It was the descendants of Crazy Horse who organized that and who wanted to do that. And they had received spiritual instructions to move people to high ground because of the flood, and to do it at a certain time, to wait for certain signals from the weather, the natural universe. And it was named Last Child's Camp because the Last Child's Warrior Society is the only warrior society that Crazy Horse was ever known to belong to or to create. And so I happened to be there. And they were making a treaty stand. They did not know that was private property, but they wanted to. They were following spiritual instructions to put up those seven teepees, to build the fire, and to make a stand on behalf of all of our international personalities, our international capabilities, to be able to assert ourselves. In territories where we have been militarily and forcibly prohibited from entering. And so, you know, I was on the ground, and when all the military police were beginning to amass, I went out there with a bunch of other people to ask them what their intentions were. And it was pretty apparent that they were going to try to paint me as the leader of the action and try to, neutralize me in that fashion. But, you know, that I can't take the credit for that action. But I supported it, you know.
Chase, a lot of this unfolded in front of the lens of a camera, whether it be on a phone or people who are there documenting it. So a lot of people have been in tune with what's been going on the moment that it's happening, including live streaming. Chase, when you think about the actions that happened last week, is there anything, as you take a look back, the importance of messages and why any of these camps even exist?
Yeah. This is Standing Rock, or, you know, the confluence of the Cannonball and the Missouri Rivers has become an international spiritual monument, a focal point for that energy, all of those prayers, all of the interfaith nature of what has transpired there over the last 6 months, maybe even the last 10 months. And what happened there at Last Child's Camp was the carrying out of a prayer. It was carrying out spiritual instructions. They built the fire. They built the teepees as they were instructed to do. They offered the proper foods and the proper medicines that they were instructed to do. And they held themselves in prayer. Yet they are being charged with engaging in a riot. Myself and a woman named Vanessa Castle are being charged with felony inciting a riot. And so we're both facing up to 5 years in prison for a prayerful and peaceful action that, yes, you know, when I went to meet with the cops, they told me it was on private property. I told them they didn't know that. And so that I didn't know that. We needed to go talk to them, to the protectors, and tell them the nature, you know, this new important detail. But they, you know, were committed to staying there and carrying out their prayerful action.
And Chase, while we're on this, is there anything you'd like to report about being taken into custody? We've heard reports over time as water protectors are taken into custody. We've heard incidents of people being treated not well. Is there anything you would like to report about the action of being taken into custody?
Some of my close friends from Ganawage or the Ongwe Owe, the Mohawk brothers. They were mistreated. They were stripped down to a single layer of clothing, possibly even their underwear, and the air conditioning was turned on. They were transported over 4 hours, and the windows were rolled down, and it was extremely cold that day. And so they were in fear for their lives. Their lives were deliberately endangered. We're just waiting for the right, you know, time to try to release that story to the media or to get them in touch with the proper media channels. And then also, it's interesting because the roadblock, the most militarized roadblock in North Dakota history, is functioning as a modern-day sign or starve or withholding of rations. It's an economic sanction that is punishing an already impoverished people into submission, into resenting the very people that they invited to protect their water. And when we drove north of that military blockade, it was the first time that I had been up there since prior to October 27th. And history has repeated itself in the withholding of rations and the economic sanctions, the road blockade, but also the military fort of Fort Rice, which was set up in 1863 by General Alfred Sully after massacring our people at Whitestone Hill. Most, you know, the survivors of that massacre swam across the river and settled in what is now Cannonball. And that fort, Fort Rice, where Chief Gall signed the treaty as well, is now reactivated as a military fort in 2016 and 2017, complete with tremendous armaments, barracks. It's insane to drive by that and think that this is, maybe the Indian Wars never have ended, because this military fort is active right now to punish and subdue, criminalize and maim and violate the rights of and possibly kill water protectors, unarmed water protectors at the confluence of the Cannonball and Missouri Rivers.
And Chase, being an attorney and, you know, being a part of the group that was taken into custody, what's going through your mind as a lawyer?
That Morton County needs to be held accountable. And, you know, I'm in a position now, all the 76 people who were arrested, indeed the 700 people who were arrested, who had their rights violated, who were sprayed indiscriminately with water cannons, which Morton County lied about, the people who have had explosive devices deployed on them, who were shot at close range, who lost their eyesight, who were permanently maimed, the people who have had their rights violated need to seek a legal redress, and Morton County needs to be held accountable for that. And so that's one thing that, you know, we need to be aware of outside of just criminal defense. I mean, we need to start thinking about how we bring that to bear on those who are violating our rights.
And Chase, you're facing a possible 5 years. Any thoughts on that?
No, other than, you know, they're trying to scapegoat me. They're trying to make me out to be the leader of a hierarchy, or that I'm able to give commands. They told me that they were gonna, you know, they were gonna arrest me first, and they were basically gonna throw the book at me. And they've arrested another woman who didn't do anything to, you know, incite a riot, or in my eyes, neither did I. But I mean, we both intend to plead not guilty, and we will have a criminal defense system that protects our rights. But we're also going to need a worldwide outcry for the injustices that are happening there. You know, I don't know. It's insane, really, to think about the fact that I could be facing prison time here within the next year, however long this is going to take. But in the meantime, I'm not the only one that has been charged with a felony. I'm not the only one that has had their rights violated, or who has been brutalized by corporate state-sponsored law enforcement violence or military violence. And so we all just need to recognize each other's struggles and to stand together, because this is just starting. I mean, to the world, the Army Corps intends to raid, or they want to clear the camp by February 22nd. But Trump is bringing this fight against tyranny, this fight for the soul of our country. He's bringing this fight to us right now, to all the demographics that he publicly stated that he was willing to victimize, that he was willing to discriminate against. And so, you know, that includes Black Lives Matter, that includes women's rights, the feminist movement, that includes everybody considered an immigrant or who they seek to declare an illegal human being, people who have prior and original birthrights to be on this hemisphere. That includes the entire Muslim faith, who they've already discriminated against. And Trump is the one inciting a riot here. It's not me, or it's not Vanessa Castle, or it's not any others who've been charged with that same offense. In a state that is crafting laws to further penalize water protectors.
And Chase, let's take on that February 22nd deadline. Any thoughts on this, how it came about, and what it means?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of important deadlines coming up. February 20th is the deadline for, I think, comments on the environmental impact statement to be submitted. And, you know, Trump has indicated that he wanted to roll back that process, even going so far as to say that they would do away with or completely obliterate the EPA as an agency of the federal government. But also the easement to drill underneath the river is at stake right now. There's press conferences going to be happening within the next 24 or 48 hours that will spell out what happens when the Army Corps indicates to the United States Congress that it intends to grant this easement and they can drill under the water. There's going to be a fight about what that means in the Congress. And so there's a lot of important dates coming up, and I think that the Trump administration is trying to move with haste and to make this happen with the least amount of opposition possible.
And let's talk a little bit about vacating the area. Any thoughts on what that means, or how you feel about orders or a directive coming from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Nation and Chairman Dave Archambault and council, I guess, too?
So the tribal government doesn't have the authority to clear camps that are outside of its jurisdiction unless the tribal government is willing to take hold of the Treaty of 1868 and stand on the force of that treaty, like their oath of office says they will do. They need to be willing to force law enforcement out of that territory and force DAPL out of that territory if they purport to be able to force water protectors out of that territory. The only entities that we're concerned with is the Army Corps of Engineers, and they're calling into action Morton County law enforcement and the National Guard, which have brutalized us over the past 6 months. So we are all going to move out of the low ground, out of the floodplain, and if we are by force and by gunpoint forced to move back onto the reservation, you know, they once declared us hostile if we didn't return to the reservation. Now they're going to declare us trespassers if we don't return to the reservation, to our little box of poverty that we've been doomed to. If we are forced back by gunpoint, then we'll regroup south of the 1889 boundary on the Standing Rock Nation. There's already four camps that are set up that are going up, and so the fight will continue.
And Chase, any thoughts or any pushback about hearing a message coming from the tribe saying, don't repopulate these camps, and then your words that many people saw on social media of calling people to stand behind this cause, and some are interpreting it as you calling people directly to that area. Can you tell me more on that?
Well, we're calling people who are disciplined and who are self-sufficient and who are willing to come back, to come back. I mean, the tribe isn't, to my knowledge, they're not kicking anyone off. And there's already four camps on the reservation, so people can find their way there. I don't know about camping in the contested area in light of a potential armed raid. I mean, I wouldn't urge somebody to do something that I'm not willing to do. But if you want to come back and exercise your constitutional, your human, and your civil rights, then we want you to do that, and we'll be able to accommodate you in that pursuit. So, I mean, our message is consistent with the tribes in terms of we want the roadblock lifted. And it appears that I think the roadblock might be lifted, but we also want the pipeline.
All right.
And so, you know, that fight continues, but I'm going to have to head out here.
Okay. And finally, Chase, any thoughts? We're hearing many people on social media, people coming out talking about divisions because of the different things that have happened, the different orders coming from the government, the tribe's message. And people are working to repair divisions among, you know, the people. Any thoughts on division?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, there are legitimate provocateurs and agents who specialize in creating division, who specialize in creating fear and doubt. Indeed, DAPL has hired one of the more capable firms who execute psychological operations, who execute these PR battles and PR wars of public relations that dehumanize, villainize, or even make the appearance that there is division. But there's unity. I mean, we want the same thing that the tribe wants. We want the bridge open and we want the pipeline gone. The only thing that we seem to differ about is how we accomplish those goals. But I don't consider myself divided from the tribe or from the chairman. We're just working in different paths to achieve the same goals.
Thank you for that, Chase Iron Eyes. And if you can give me a little more time, because we do want to give a historical perspective on how, you know, the timeline of this happened. Is there anything you'd like to add just for the sake of telling the area's history of how the area got populated, which camp came first, or how things evolved? Anything you want to add to that timeline?
Yeah, it started with Sacred Stone, with LaDonna Brave Bull Allard on April 1st. At the same time that I was seeking the United States congressional endorsement from the Democratic Party of North Dakota, Sacred Stone went up on that same day. And then around August 10th, when construction started, and following those first arrests, we had the other camps that came into being there, in one of the Oglalas, the Standing Rock, an overflow camp in the contested zone. The only mistake that we made in those early days was that we should have camped in the high ground, but maybe we weren't considering the fight going on this long. But yeah, it started there, and then that was called Ocheti Shakoni Camp, and then now Rosebud was also formed. Between Rosebud, Ocheti Shakoni, and Sacred Stone, those are the primary camps. There's all sorts of, you know, subsidiary camps of those big camps, but right now, there's probably 400 people in the contested area, probably maybe 800 at Sacred Stone and maybe a couple hundred at Rosebud and other camps that are south of the river, with more people coming in.
Thank you for that, Chase. And finally, any thoughts if that easement goes through or we hear the Army's decision supporting the easement?
Yeah, we expect it to go through, and we're ready to meet that head on. We don't have a choice but to fight that on all fronts, whether that's legal, political, through the media, civil resistance, whatever it is, we'll be ready for it.
Chase Iron Eyes, thank you for visiting with us today.
All right, thank you.